We will talk about the future of mining in Wisconsin in this half of our state capitol report. We'll take a look at the latest proposal coming from the Senate Select Committee on Mining. And we're going to also talk some from about the call from the chairman of the Wisconsin Mining Association, who we heard on this program last week, who wants to end what he calls Wisconsin's mining moratorium. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, December 10th. If you would like to talk about mining, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest in this half of the State Capitol Report is George Meyer. He is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, and he was the DNR Secretary in Wisconsin from 1993 to 2001. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So we just heard from Sean Johnson, our State Capitol reporter, that there is a new proposal coming out of the Senate Select Committee on Mining. What do you think of that proposal?
I think it's a very good proposal, and it's based on facts. The committee held 20 hours worth of testimony from various agencies and the Wisconsin Mining Association, conservation groups, and came up with some, you know, what improvements could be made in the current mining law, which covers both iron and non-iron mining. And then in something which I think is revolutionary in these days in the state, they held a public markup session and debated the provisions of a straw proposal that was set out by the chairman of the committee.
So what's different in this proposal than the one that was defeated last session?
Yeah, I'll refer to that one as AB 4-2026. That bill put an unreasonably, almost an impossible time frame for DNR to issue a permit 1 year. These complex projects cannot be handled, and in other states they normally take 2 to 4 years once the agency gets a permit. But the other thing that really upset people, two things. One was, despite the best efforts of proponents, it did, in fact, remove the protection of certain environmental laws from mining in the state that are in the current mining law. And second, almost all administrative decisions in the state before DNR, at least involving the environment, have a provision for what's called a contested case hearing, where the proponent of a project has to come in and show that it'll meet standards, and neighbors and those that are affected can come in and challenge that. That was removed, you can get a contested case hearing on your neighbor's pier, but you couldn't get a contested case on your neighbor's iron mine, which I think upset a bunch of people.
So the new proposal would keep the ability to have contested case hearings. It would keep the environmental protections right in place. But what it would do is put a time limit of 2 years on how long it would take the DNR to approve them.
Right. There are two alternatives set out. One would set the DNR, once they have a complete application, to make the final decision within 2 years. They would be allowed what people would call one pause in case something came up to 6 months. The mining company, and this I can tell you from experience in regulating for mines, the mining company is going to want pauses on their own to get additional information. They're allowed to do as many for as long as they want. But the other provision, that's sort of track A. Track B, which I think Mr. Sullivan and I probably agree would be, is that before the process starts, the mining company would sit down with the federal agencies and the state agencies and tailor a deadline and time frame for that particular mine. Some mines can be permitted in 2 years. I think probably the Jackson County iron mine would be in that category. But others, and I would suggest that probably one in the Pinoki mines area, is so complex hydrologically that two years probably is not going to allow for a reasonable decision.
Well, is the there was criticism that the mining company that wanted to open up this Pinoki mine had a lot of say in the bill that was narrowly defeated last session, saying that it took too long to approve a mine in the state of Wisconsin and they needed this process to be streamlined. Are proponents of that proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin and the mining company itself going to be okay with this compromise bill?
Well, from what, I mean, the discussion in the press so far and from some of the proponents of that bill is that they're going to reintroduce that bill, maybe make some changes, but largely, it's going to be the same relatively as what I refer to as AB 426. Anticipate that'll be introduced sometime in January and hearings be held. Especially the Senate will hold more public hearings than last time, in the way it sounds, according to Senator Fitzgerald. And then, you know, we'll go through the normal process. I think the intent of Senator Cullen and others on the Senate Mining Committee would be to introduce an alternative based on the extensive work by the Senate Select Committee on Mining, so people can see the contrast, and then there can be a reasonable debate on which is the better provision, both for mining and to protect our natural resources.
So what I just heard you say is that that this is an alternative, but the legislature's not going to take it up.
Well, I wouldn't go that far for sure. Clearly, the assembly, I don't think is going to be a majority, may not be very favorable to I'll call the Senator Cullen or the Mining Select Committee version. But the state Senate, there was a bipartisan representation on the select committee. It was truly impressive. The senators of both parties were very diligent in their attendance. I mean, 20 hours is a lot of testimony, plus then the markup session, which took 4 or 5 hours. And I think the provisions in the Cullen proposal, if you will have some traction in the state Senate. And hopefully, and our organization hopes that will foster a debate to show that, in fact, the Cullen provision is the best, not only for natural resources in the state, but ultimately for mining in the state. I think AB 426, candidly, will be a major roadblock to mining in Wisconsin because it's so it's going to raise so much controversy, both with the citizens, but clearly with the Native American tribes and the federal government.
Yeah, so we heard a clip from State Senator Jim Holprin, who is retiring from the state legislature, who said if this AB, what is it again?
AB 426.
AB 426 is passed, that there will never be a mine built in northern Wisconsin because of the different lawsuits that are going to take place.
Well, I never use the word never these days. But it will surely extend, if there's a permit granted, it will extend substantially the amount of time it would take to get through the process, including litigation. And I would not be surprised if a permit were granted, it would take 6 to 10 years to get it up and running under that provision, just because of the trouble it's going to cause with the federal process and the Native American tribes. And there are also some state constitutional issues on water protection.
Does this new proposal from the Senate Mining Committee deal with what Tim Sullivan, the chair of the State Mining Association, calls the ban on mining in Wisconsin, or the mining moratorium?
It does not. This is a very controversial issue. And I'll be very straightforward. Our organization, the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, actually agrees with Tim Sullivan and the Mining Association. The mining moratorium provision is terribly outdated. It does not accomplish much in terms of assuring protection. The theory behind it is okay, that look at other mines to see what the impact was. But unfortunately, it didn't put any parameters around it. And so from the Crandon, I was secretary then, the mines that were submitted were one in the permafrost of Northwest Territories, one in the arid desert of Arizona, and one in the high mountains, hard rock mining of California. So it doesn't provide information. So it clearly needs improvement.
Say that again. So there aren't enough mines or specific mines that can be pointed to say, hey, we can mine this safely.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think there may be such mines, and the Flambeau mine might be one of them up in Russ County. But there was the mining company wasn't required to come up with a mine that was in similar hydrogeological situation to the mine they were proposing. You know, the forest and lake region of northern Wisconsin has its own specific issues. But there was no requirement that you come up with one that was in a similar situation.
I see. So what would you like to see changed when it comes to this mining moratorium?
Well, our provision, I think the mining association would think this is a better alternative. They'd rather have nothing. But what I would suggest is that as part of the information submitted, that the mining company research what mines were built and constructed in similar hydrogeological situations, what technology was used there, and what the results were. That would be informative to the mining regulators. Just from a historical standpoint, most people don't realize it. I was Secretary of DNR when the mining moratorium was put in. My staff came to me and said, this is not a good provision. And you can imagine the controversy of this. I testified as Secretary of DNR against that bill when it was passed. Now, there was just overwhelming support for it because of the overwhelming opposition to the Crandon mine. But DNR has been on record for 25 years as saying that's not a good and useful provision of law, and there's better alternatives.
Yeah, it's interesting because we were told last week that there are companies that are interested in gold deposits and other metal deposits in Wisconsin, but they feel they cannot proceed because of this moratorium.
Right, and it's the term moratorium. It really isn't even a moratorium, which would tell people you can't process a mine. It's basically a finding of fact in the final decision. But the word moratorium scares off investment. I mean, if you're companies that come in to start a mine usually are not the large money companies. They bring in a large partner like Kennecott Rio Tinto or another corporation. Well, those other large capital companies have maybe 10 alternatives that are just as good anywhere in the world. They see the word moratorium and they just get, I mean, they're going to go some other place. And that's the problem the mining industry has with this misnamed provision of law and one that probably is not that effective.
We are talking with George Meyer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and DNR Secretary from 1993 to 2001, about mining and the future of mining in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be a cloudy day statewide, some scattered snow showers in the north. There is a winter storm warning in Douglas and Bayfield counties until noon today. Otherwise, scattered snow in northern Wisconsin. A slight chance of snow or patchy light freezing drizzle in southern Wisconsin this morning. Highs today will be in the upper teens in the north to the low 30s in the east. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will welcome in the author of Snap, Making the Most of First Impressions, Body Language, and Charisma. Says that we ought to be able to read body language and nonverbal cues for our own personal and professional success. That's coming up. We are talking mining with George Meyer, who was a former Wisconsin DNR secretary back when the so-called mining moratorium was passed regarding the Crandon mine, the proposed Crandon mine. He is now executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. And you did George Meyer testify before the Senate committee on mining that was trying to come up with a better proposal to change mining laws in the state. What did you tell them?
Well, and I was asked to testify twice. One was my initial testimony, and I testified on that we should keep the existing mining law. It's a very solid law. And basically, I think Tim Sullivan would say that also. But there are, to update it, there are dated provisions, unnecessary requirements that cause unnecessary financial investments by the mining company and are not valuable for DNR's time, limited time to review it. And then, of course, the deadlines, who also testified in the mining moratorium. And then later I was asked to respond to the provisions that were submitted by Wisconsin Mining Association and did that and basically agreed with the provisions and those have been discussed with by Mr. Sullivan and myself.
Let's take some calls. Jim and Cable is with us. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. And George, I want to thank you for all the good work you've done for our natural resources over the years, especially with the Wildlife Federation. You do marvelous work for our state.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm calling just to point out there's an elephant in the room that people may not be aware of. Oh, there's all this talk about the Pinoki Range and the iron mining, but that is right in the middle of one of the best regions for silver and gold. And when I did my research for my book, The Treasure in Nemacogan, I ran across page after page after page of mining claims from the 1880s for silver, gold, and copper mines in Ashland and Bayfield County. One of those was a fellow that had a number of mines. His name is Dan Morgan. Morgan Falls is named for him. And I am quite sure that the old chief's secret, or rather lost treasure mine, is really close to his Morgan Falls mine. And there are people that look for silver up here now. Most of it is done illegally. There's canning for gold on some of the streams. And there are people that have mines back in the woods, and I don't see a big problem with that. But when the mining rules are finally finalized, there will be a huge number of companies up here looking for not iron, but smaller deposits of gold and silver.
So there's hidden treasure in those hills, George Meyer.
And you know, I can add, you know, I don't know how rich those deposits are, and for a large scale mine, they would have to be not only a high concentration of metal, but good size. But as an example, not very far from very close to the Pinoki mine area is a lake called Mineral Lake, which has been stated to have non-iron deposits underneath that lake. So I think there clearly is a mixture of metals in that area. The question is whether the other ones are of sufficient size that large-scale mining would take place.
There is a different process used to extract iron ore and extract gold or copper or other metals. And isn't there more concern that the process used for the metals can be more polluting?
Both can be very polluting, mm-hmm. but in different ways. What's referred to often is sulfide mines, you might have what's called a cyanide leaching process to take the metals. It's part of the processing facility. And obviously that leads to some other potential damage. And non-iron, like iron, silver, copper, is known what is a sulfide mineral deposit. And that has the potential for acid generation. Now, that should, some would say that therefore we need a different process because that is more dangerous than iron mining. But that is inaccurate, and experts have testified before the committee on that because iron mines, while the ore body itself may not have sulfides, the overburden may have things such as pyrite, which also can be acid generating. So you're basically going to dig up and stockpile and subject to potential rain and sulfide generation materials. In addition, it's often depending on what you're digging up. If you're digging up in the middle of a a plain with no water for a sulfide mine, that there's not going to be as much damage as if you dig up a water-rich area where there's lakes and streams and wetlands for an iron mine. So both can be very environmental damaging.
So with we only have about a minute to go, George Meyer. Can we have mining in Wisconsin, in particular this iron ore mine, since that's the one that's really on the drawing board, without harming the environment up there, the beauty up there?
There's two answers. One, yes, clearly we can have mining in the state without causing unreasonable environmental damage. And we have seen that with the Flambeau mine as an example. And I think that can be done with other mines if we make reasonable modifications to our mining law that has been suggested by the Senate committee. The Pinoki mine, and our organization has not taken position on that. We're a science-based organization. We're going to wait till the environmental studies are done. I can tell you from my personal experience, so having been on that site, in the Crandon mine site, it is a highly sensitive and complex and water-rich area above a state park, a Native American reservation, an international wetland, and one of the finest lakes, Lake Superior, in the world, if not the finest. The challenges there are going to be very great, and it'll be a tough burden for a mining company to show it's environmentally safe.
Well, now we're out of time. We'll have to talk to you again when this, I'm sure, will come up again. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Joy.
George Meyer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, DNR Secretary from 1993 to 2001. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Cynthia Schuster, and to Amanda Magnus for producing these programs. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.